Hey y'all, how's it going today? This week we've got the talk we had with Seth Etter of DevICT. We've got, of course, talked to him about everything, how business is going in Wichita, startup Wichita, business in Wichita, coding, working with clients, all that good stuff. Really good fun talk. He's a good dude. We should let you know that Level Up, which is a sort of learn to code event, is happening on Monday, and the Wichita Open Hack Night is on Thursday. You can check those out at devict.org and openwichita.com. Before we get you in here, I want to give a couple shout-outs real quick. First off, to Finishing School for Modern Women. Add a .com to that if you want to find them. Jill Miller runs classes for the modern woman to figure out how to operate in the world and, you know, how to handle herself. Saturday, November 14th, actually, she's got a class coming up, Own Your Power, once again at finishingschoolformodernwomen.com. You can check out tickets and see what that's all about. Also, we want to say thanks to Snug Harbor for their support. They're right over there at Lincoln and Edgemoor. Neighborhood bar with pool leagues, steel tip darts, big screen TVs, of course, and there's always music going. It's a good place. Get down there and hang out. Anyway, let's go ahead and get you all to hearing from Seth. Okay, so Midwest Digest is down here at the Labor Party. Thanks again, Kenton. You're great. We're here with Seth Etter, who is a little bit of a local celebrity, actually, today. Well, you are, and I'll tell you why. Because today, Bernardo asked who you were on the Hangout, and so I was like, maybe he's got a website or something. So I Googled Seth Etter, and I got image results, like that thing at the top of the Google that has, like, six pictures, and see more photos for Seth Etter. And me, you're a celebrity if I can type your name with nothing else and it actually comes up with and it's all photos of you. There's nothing else. If you type Blake Hamilton, it's just random assholes everywhere.
I think that just has more to do with me being a computer nerd than anything.
There you go. Yeah. Well, and your name's a little unique, I guess. Yeah. You know, if we want to get into the Google Analytics of how to, you know, you've probably got a better searchable name.
Yeah, I actually found out there's no one else in the world with my first and last name.
Really?
There
you go. What about your middle same name, though? Well, first, middle, well, and last.
That would make it even more.
I know. It's a dumb joke.
That would. So we got Bernardo and Jess here right now.
Hey.
Seth, Pat should be jumping in, but Seth does a lot of stuff. He's a coder by nature. And he was, okay, were you involved in the starting of Make ICT as well? Is that, which way does it go? Because DevICT and Make ICT are...
DevICT and Make ICT both started around the same time, but
okay,
we were completely unaware of each other.
Okay.
What they do involves a lot more money because they have a lot of equipment and they need a space to put all their tools and things like that.
Right.
So they became a nonprofit like pretty quickly,
mm-hmm,
and DevICT, we just needed a place to get a bunch of people with their laptops together. So
sure,
eventually we joined Make ICT as just a chapter of them, but basically so we could, you know, leech off their nonprofit.
Get that
status.
Yeah. Right. Hell yeah. Okay. But you put together DevICT.
Right.
With anybody, or was this Seth Etter?
It started out, it was me and another guy, and I don't really know what happened. He kind of just lost interest pretty quickly, like within the first 6 months, and I don't know, wasn't crazy about it, so he's off doing his own thing, and I kept running with it. I think it was like our third meeting, though. We had Jacob Walker and Matthew Keeler both came up to me afterwards and were just like, hey, this is cool, you know, we want to help if we can. So Matthew has since moved to North Carolina, but Jacob Walker is the other guy. Me and him pretty much run the group now, so.
Okay, right on. And I guess tell our listeners a little bit what DevICT is, if they don't know what those words mean.
It's basically a development group. It's a development meetup group, so like web, software, mobile development, app development, whatever, anything involving code. We have a whole bunch of recurring events. Some that are just like hang out and drink beer. Some where somebody will give a talk about something. We just started another event called Level Up, where if you want to come out and learn to code, you can show up, and we have mentors on hand to, you know, answer questions, guide you in the right direction, and teach you whatever. So.
Okay. Are these so? Is this all sort of pointed at like novice coders, or is there a little bit of room for people who don't know anything besides that they're interested?
All of it, honestly.
Yeah.
I really want to find the people who like are interested but aren't really sure how to get into it, and aren't
right.
really even sure if they want to get into it. I want to encourage people to try it out. We need more developers around here, in my opinion. And, yeah, so, but all over the place. I mean, we definitely want to be, you know, have stuff that people who are already developers or who are
sure.
really experienced developers, you know, to be interested in as well. And that's what the talks kind of do and
right.
all that other stuff.
But, what's a developer? I mean...
It's
you know what I mean, like
what's code?
There's what people think a developer does,
yeah,
and then
real estate development.
What they really do. So go ahead and you don't mind.
Yeah, so basically web, software, mobile development, anything involving just like writing code. So whether you're building a website, building an app, writing some other kind of crazy software, writing a game, we have a lot of people interested in game development. So.
So you don't design. You take other people's designs and then make them, bring them to life,
yeah.
essentially?
Yeah, basically write the code that makes it actually work and not just be a picture. So, and there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of shit like, you know, that a lot of coding you do that doesn't involve any design. It's all just back-end stuff. So that's the stuff that, you know, people who aren't into code are the least interested in, but that's part
right.
of it too.
What exactly is code? Like, code, what is that? I've been hearing about that for, like, the last 10 years, and I always just, I don't know what it is.
Well, it's ones and zeros. So, yeah, I mean, everything in a computer boils down to binary, which is the ones and zeros, and that's what the computer processes, but you can't just write ones and zeros, because that'd be fucking impossible. Like, that's completely unfeasible. But, so there's different programming languages that compile down into ones and zeros, and that's, you know, those different programming languages are what power any kind of app. I mean, everything on a computer, basically. Everything on your phone is written with some kind of code. Everything that runs on your computer, and use different languages for different things. So, like, iPhone apps are built with, at first it was a language called Objective-C. Now they use this one called Swift. Websites are built with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript,
okay.
which all do different things. And then there's like thousands of other programming languages too. So,
which is dumb. I mean, it's probably
yeah.
not. It, from the outside, it looks dumb though,
yeah.
because every time I, you know, like when I, like months ago or whatever, I got on Code Academy and I, you know, like make the account and like they have like a button like teach me to code,
yep.
and I click that and then it instantly got complicated because they said, "Would you like to learn Java, Python, Ruby, or CSS right
yeah.
now?" And I said, "I don't know.
Yeah.
Someone just told me like this is a good thing to like learn and kind of
right.
get familiar with because
and,
computers take over our lives." So,
and I like
but I don't know.
That. I like hearing that because you know that's what the Level Up event is supposed to help with. Because I recommend Code Academy to anybody who's like, you know, I'm kind of thinking about it. What should I do? It's like, go to codeacademy.com. They've got, I mean, once you actually get into the lessons, they're awesome. They're
yeah.
well done. But, yeah, you have to make some decisions before you even get into that. And if you don't know anything about it, then how are you supposed to make that decision? So what I want to do is, you know, for people who are want to get into development or at least curious about it and don't know how to start, like yourself, I would want to sit down and have a conversation with them and say, like, what's your end goal? Like, are you trying to build apps? Do you want to build websites, video games? Like, what do you, why do you want to know how to code? And then I can kind of direct them into, like, well, you should probably learn Ruby or you should learn C++ or whatever. So there are thousands of languages, but, you know, 99.9% of them are bullshit and not really worth knowing, so.
I had to learn how to code in one of my design classes, and... Yeah, it's very...
She had to learn HTML.
Yeah. Well,
no,
well,
what did you learn?
CSS.
Okay.
Cascading style sheets.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that shit was hard. It's tedious.
Yeah.
And, like, you have to pay a lot of attention. And I think I had a leg up in that class because I'm of the MySpace era,
right.
Where you can go in and
change. I was a god during those times. Yeah, I was like, I know this shit. Yeah. Everyone's like making layouts and having to copy and paste. It's like, nah, I know how to do this.
Yeah, I just it was trial and error really, yeah. But it's not something I think I would. I can't think in web.
Yeah.
Like if someone wants me to design them a website, I'm like, okay, and I'm very basic and flat, and it's just, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around, like, anything that is just not static and simple, so props to you.
I'm not a designer. I hate CSS, actually. That's my least favorite language.
Is that something common, like, do designers and artists, we see people like you, right, to, like, because when I was in my Flash class at Butler.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I ever learned about any sort of script, was the action script.
I used to have to teach that out there.
Yeah. That shit was, I hated that. So there was a programmer in there. I'd just tell him what I wanted to do, and he'd just do all the coding stuff.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, dude, you'll never have to do this if you just hire a programmer.
Pretty much.
I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn it then.
Yeah. And I will be the first to admit that coding's definitely not for everybody. It's, you know, if you don't like it, you don't like it. And it's not one of those things that you can pretend to like and, like, power through and get a job doing it. Like, no, you'll hate it. You'll hate every fucking second of it. It's like math. Like, some people, even if they can pick it up quickly, if you don't like to sit down and focus on a math problem, like, you're not going to do it. It's really difficult to, like, get your mind in it, so.
And it's cool. I mean, it's just another way of collaborating, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, definitely. Trust me, I am super appreciative of designers because I can't make shit look pretty. So if I can have somebody else make it look awesome, then I can turn it into a thing that actually works.
Yeah,
so.
It's good to have someone that's passionate about it, too.
Yeah.
It's like having an architect and then, a construction worker.
Definitely.
Essentially. Like, you have to have that relationship, and if you're not communicating with each other, then it won't get done or it'll look like shit. But that kind of makes me think of the whole startup weekend, and I worked with, you know, we were a part of startup weekend at the same time, and now you are creating it. So, I mean, you're doing the backhand work,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I participated in three of them, missed the first one, and then I've helped organize for the last two, and the one coming up.
Can you explain what that is a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So it's a weekend-long event where designers, developers, entrepreneurs, marketing people, whoever, get together and form teams to try and build and launch a startup in a weekend. So, you know, obviously not all of the startups actually continue on afterwards. We want them to, but that doesn't always happen. But you spend literally your entire weekend working with this team, you know, developing your business plan, figuring out how you're going to make money, doing customer validations of figuring out, is this something that people would actually use? Your designers are producing your marketing material and your logos and all that stuff. Your developers are, you know, building out prototypes if it's an app or a website or whatever you need. And then at the end of the 54 hours, you present to judges. They give you a bunch of, you know, useful criticism and feedback. Winners are picked and prizes are awarded. Prizes are dependent upon, you know, what kind of sponsorships we get and, you know, what we can pull with the money we're working. The next one coming up is November 13th through 15th, and we've already got some big sponsors for us, so it should
cool.
be good.
And you're working alongside Kristen Smith?
Yeah, and like seven other people.
Yeah.
We have a huge organizing team this
That's
time.
That's awesome.
It was three of us for the last one, and now I'm pretty sure there's eight altogether.
Does it make it easier? Or?
Yeah, definitely, because we all just have like one specific responsibility, so I'm in charge of sponsorships because I did most of that last time, so it's easy to just send out the same email again to the same people.
How do people sign up?
The URL is stupid long. I made
we can add it to.
Yeah, I don't have it even memorized. I made a shortened version. It's bit.ly, so bit.ly/sw-ict. So Startup Weekend ICT.
Okay.
But yeah, if you go there, that's the event page. So it'll talk about what the event is, have the schedule for the weekend. Yeah, the coolest thing, tickets are normally $100. And that's just like any startup weekend in any city. But we really want to get more people attending, so we're pushing more for sponsorships and drop ticket prices to $65. And right now, the tickets are still at early bird. I don't know what date that ends, but early bird is $50. And you get breakfast, lunch, and dinner catered through the entire weekend from, like, good restaurants. So, I mean, the ticket price, the food, you know, covers the ticket
price
itself. So.
Yeah, we didn't have to worry about food whenever...
Yeah, and you eat good. Like you're not getting McDonald's and shit like that. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So.
Yeah, it's like barbecue.
Yeah, it's fun. I think it's a blast because there's just a shit ton of people here. Everyone's busting ass, but like having a good time. You know, mm-hmm. I basically alternate beer and coffee through the entire weekend. And, keeps me in a weird fun mood the entire time.
It's
awesome. And this one's actually taking place during the weekend of like this global startup battle. So there's going to be startup weekends happening like all over the world mm-hmm. that same weekend. And the winners from each city startup weekend get to go to like regionals and.
Is it here at Labor Party?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, always at the Labor Party. Yeah, we host pretty much everything at the Labor Party. So.
That was quick plug. We've got. Actually, an episode from 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
The last one, we were down here all weekend to cover it, and we've got talks that we had with, we just have coverage of the thing, and then we've got talks with the winning team, which was Wise Sockets. Yeah. I saw one of those guys walk in here just a little bit ago. But
Alex, he's out there. I don't know what they're meaning about. But.
He was on my team whenever I went. We had something called Overhead, and it was... teaching engineering to high school students.
Yeah, that's
did
right.
Video tutorials.
Yeah.
And then I also put an idea out there that, like, no one wanted to form a team with me, but everyone liked it. It's called Food Porn. It's an app. So, Seth, if you still are interested, let me know. We can make that happen.
It just seems like something that would work. Like, people know about that idea, and it's that simple.
Yeah.
Like, I think people try to make shit too complicated sometimes. But.
Yeah, and I almost imagine... this would be complicated, but I almost imagine you, like, earning points, like, for having posted, like, awesome, beautiful food,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah,
people
there
like
you go.
Points that you don't use
yeah.
for anything.
Yeah, you, exactly.
Points are, like, the meaning of life to these
yeah.
days.
Exactly,
like, if you're on Reddit, your karma is everything.
Right, you can...
If you're on Facebook, like... How many
just
likes you get on your
all
post.
You care
every
about.
Time you post something, you're like, oh my god, I got 15 likes and this is amazing.
56.
I haven't used Facebook in a while.
It's okay. I tried to quit. I quit for a month and then we had this Brooks Wheeling show and I felt like I needed to promote.
If you're doing some comedy in town, you kind of got to. That's the...
Kinda. I make someone in charge
of
my Facebook page.
Use it for... I don't know anything about it, but it seems like you have to be able to be like... Hey, guys, like, you have to have a platform where you can say, like, hey, 85 of my closest friends,
right.
I've got a thing going on downtown.
Yeah.
We'll have 1,000 people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And without that, it's a lot harder to, like, how would you, half of the people that come to your shows, how would you get them there without being able to, like...
I'd probably text, well, I'm telling you, I had a Facebook fan page going.
Right.
So I would just have to, like, you know, tell somebody else to start posting, I'd sneak on there, but let's not talk about
it. I'm trying to do the same thing with DevICT, because I don't have a Facebook account, so I'm not on there, but I know that it would be good for us to promote on there more,
mm-hmm.
but thankfully, like, you know, developers and designers and entrepreneurs and shit, a lot of them are on Twitter, so...
See, I love Twitter.
I
do you love Twitter?
I use the shit out of Twitter to promote our groups, like, all day.
Yeah.
There's this tool called Buffer, because, like... I'll just, once a morning, I'll just go in there and schedule, like 5 tweets for the day. Just, like, I'm just going to knock this all out right now because I don't want to just keep jumping back into Twitter.
What's it called?
Buffer.
Yeah, it's handy. So.
Note to self.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you use Unfollow Me?
No.
Okay.
With that one.
They have, I don't know if they have as, like, much of the mechanical, like, programming stuff or whatever, but they just, like, they'll track you, like, every time you get a new follower,
mm-hmm.
they'll tell you how they clicked through to your profile or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Like, if Jessica tweets something, like, at Seth Etter,
right.
you know, and then you get a follow, instead of it just being, like, plus one follow, it'll say,
okay.
like, one of your follows today came through, you know, at Jessica K, and three of them came through at the Labor Party or whatever.
Huh.
And, you know, like, somebody was reading this hashtag, and then they clicked your tweet and followed you.
Seems like it'd be really handy. I feel like it'd be one of those things I set up and then I just never look at.
Yeah.
Or I'd like look at it every once in a while, like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you'd have to.
You obsess over it for 2 days and then never again.
Exactly.
Right, you'd have to kind of let it roll for a while and then like kind of take an analytics approach to it.
Yeah, can you tell us why you choose Twitter? Not over Facebook necessarily, but like as your social media?
I don't know. I just see, especially in the developer world, developers use Twitter like crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but that's just the platform they chose. I started using it while I was going to school at Butler because one of my, Skylar Lovelace actually, she told me to follow like designers and developers on there and just see what kind of stuff they were posting. And it's, you know, an easy way to follow industry professionals. So I started an account, started following a bunch of developers and seeing the shit they were posting about, which, you know, gave me a lot of direction of like, oh, I see a lot of people learning Ruby. Maybe I should learn some Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have a job doing Ruby, so.
That's awesome.
Thanks for my job, Twitter.
Yeah,
I think
basically.
It's awesome. I've heard that it's dying, but I don't know.
I think it just depends on what circle you're in. It's definitely not dying.
Graphic designers are all up on there.
Oh, yeah.
And when I started going to school, on Dribbble.
Yeah.
When I started going to school, I went to Texas and did these design tours. And everyone talked about Twitter. And I was like, okay, I guess that's what I'm going to do. And then now as my career is shifting into design and comedy,
mm-hmm.
now I have just like a plethora of designer comics. Like, I don't know. And then I get to weed out all the babies and marriages and all that shit.
Yeah,
that's my favorite thing about Twitter is the character limit. Like, you know,
140.
Nobody's going to do, like, if somebody's got a bitchy post on Twitter, you only have to deal with it for, like, 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody posts a long-ass rant on Facebook, it's like,
whenever
it's just going to take up half my screen while I scroll by.
If I see a continue reading button, it's like, sorry, buddy, don't care.
I'm telling you, if Facebook would just, if their user interface was just different and it wasn't scroll on scroll on scroll and it was like gridded somehow, I think I would like it a lot better if it was just organized differently. But I've said that already in an episode of You Best Believe.
Their shit's super complicated. They've got so much stuff.
Yeah.
That's the other nice thing about Twitter. It's pretty simple and straightforward, so it's not a whole lot of shit you have to know about.
We think it is, but everyone else is like, I don't get it.
That's because they don't use it.
It's like, just try it.
Yeah.
They're afraid of something new.
That's what everybody says about everything, though.
At the beginning.
Is, like, somebody, you know... Well, just how do I tweet? What's this called? Just
it's one of those things where
pick it up. It's like my mom. How do I change my background on the phone? Well, there's a gear icon. Click that. It says settings. Just scroll
so
around until you see wallpaper, and then pick one.
Just
see
the three dots.
Walk around and press buttons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really easy. That's what I tell people with code too. It's like. People are just so afraid to dive in and try it. It's like, I promise you, you're
what
not going to break the computer.
What if I make something that doesn't work?
It's going to say, hey, you fucked up. This didn't run. And it's really helpful. It's like, here's the line of your code where you fucked up. And I might even give you a helpful message about
It'll
what you did.
Probably
wrong.
Just be like, hey, by the way, that's an extra semicolon right there.
Yeah,
God
exactly.
Damn it.
Exactly.
You forgot to close it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
What got you started into coding? Was it MySpace or was there something before that? Zanga?
No.
For me, it was probably Zanga.
It was StarCraft, actually. When I was like 8, 9 years old, I started playing StarCraft and, you know, played for a long time. By the time I was like, I think it was around the age of 12, I had been playing the shit out of it online, like, competitively and all that. Was in clans and all that shit, and so...
Map
funny,
building?
I did mess around with map building. I didn't do anything complicated, though.
Okay.
I think you could do some...
Because there's some scripting involved in that if you get really into it,
right.
For, like, triggers and stuff, but...
Yeah, I didn't do anything very complex with map building. The main shit I did, so there's two things I wanted to learn how to do, and it was both, like, clan-related, because we got... clan wars and shit. So this is super nerdy, but so like the online system was called battle.net.
Yeah.
It's like a whole chat system, so your clan had a chat room where you hung out and like, you know, organized matches or whatever, and you'd have opposing clans and all this shit. So they had these things that were called chat bots, which was basically like a bot that would log into battle.net, but they had to have a game key.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, like I had to have a StarCraft game key to be able to install the game and then log in, and I'd always checked that game key when I logged in to make sure it was a unique one that no one else used. So people would like just steal these game keys and put giant dumps of them online, and then I would write these programs or like get bots and program them to use all these game keys to just like flood other clients' channels and like kick boot all of them out of there or something, or like send a bot in there that would just start spamming messages and shit like you suck, whatever. And it was stupid, but it was the funnest thing ever. And it got to the point.
So it was like StarCraft espionage. Oh, you're not talking about playing StarCraft. Yeah, you're talking about just like fucking with other people that play StarCraft.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I played too, but you know, we'd have rival clans and so doing that kind of stuff. And I remember I used that was the first language I learned was Perl, and Perl is it's the fucking worst, man. It is not an easy language. Like I struggled with it pretty hardcore, but most of it was like pre-built stuff that I just had to mess with. But I remember, like, I don't know, I got so into that where it got to the point where, like, if there was a dump online, everyone would get all of those keys really quickly. So you kind of had to claim yours and use them, and pretty soon they would, you know, someone else would pick it up, and so your shit wouldn't work anymore. So it got to the point where I wanted my own dedicated keys.
Right.
So I remember I would actually go into Walmart, and I wouldn't actually steal the game, but I'd open the box and pull out the disc and just write down the game key and just do that for like three boxes, then walk out, and I've got three new keys to work with. And whoever bought that game obviously got fucked, but...
90% of those people never played online.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. But then...
Statute of limitations has passed on that, by the way.
Yeah, someone's going to tweet out at you and be like... Motherfucker,
you're a
that's
fucking
me.
Thief.
Yeah.
I thought a shitty StarCraft game that didn't work one time. Yeah. So from there, I also wanted to learn how to like make websites for the clans I was in, or just for other random shit. I remember there was also there's an online game way back in the day. It was all just browser based called. It's like Mafia Wars or something like that. And what you had to do was like get other people to click on your link, and that
what's
was like
a Facebook game, is it?
I think it's turned into
it was
Facebook.
Yeah.
This was before Facebook. This
was
before MySpace, I'm pretty sure.
They got put onto Facebook
GeoCities.
Too.
GeoCities?
Yeah. Totally.
It was on all that shit.
I had a hell of a GeoCities site. But I had to learn how to write some JavaScript that would make my like Mafia Wars link pop up, because they'd have a timer. Someone would have to click on the link, and then it would count down like 5 seconds or something, and then it counted as a click on your thing.
Right.
And so I had to make something that would like pop up my thing in the background, and I don't know, it was dumb.
Make people click on your
shit. Yeah, pretty much. It was link baiting is what that's called. So
yeah.
But yeah, so that was... Yeah.
Starting to think dev stands for devilish.
It can be. It's funny when I use the word hacker, because like I'm a hacker. You know, developers are hackers, but hacker is a more like, it's a broad term. But most people think hacker means somebody who's going to break in and steal my shit.
It's because of the movie Hackers.
Well, yeah. That's where it started.
One second.
Yeah.
Let me build a new GUI.
Jesus. But yeah, you know, while I have the opportunity, I'd like to go on record and say hackers are a good thing. Like, a hacker is any person who, like, you know, solves a problem or does something in a creative way. So, like, you can be a hardware hacker. Like, you know, engineers that are just building shit with electronics, if they do it in some crazy, like, not straightforward
way. Like a MacGyver-y thing?
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah, MacGyver was totally at...
Yeah, he was just a world hacker.
Physical hacker, yeah.
He was
a tangible
the hacker.
Thing.
Just kinetic hacks.
You gave him anything and he would hack the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
And with good intentions.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Open Wichita is. We're a civic hacking group. So everyone's like, are you trying to hack the local government? Like, what's going on?
How can people join Open Wichita?
The events.
Cool.
Yeah, every group that I organize is... free. You know, we don't have any kind of membership fees. It's just, you know, we have a kind of a core community, and then we have people who show up to the events regularly, and we get new people all the time. So our hack nights for Open Wichita are every second Thursday of the month.
Okay, cool.
So, and then everything's online just at openwichita.com.
So on website building and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there's becoming a sort of, right now, if I need a website, it's way easier and quicker and cheaper if I need a basic website, to go to Wix, Squarespace, etc. If I need a moderately complex website, if I know somebody who knows how to use like Adobe Muse, they still don't really need any coding knowledge. And I guess what I mean is, probably 8 years ago, anybody who could build a website could basically make that their full-time job, just letting, you know, letting people pay them to make websites. Yeah. But now the thing is where everybody knows how, kind of, and
if
B, right. But B, there's always a way to get a fully functional product for $8, you know, instead of waiting 6 weeks, unless you need something that's more involved or whatever.
Yeah.
So do you think that sort of the market for that is skewing towards only maybe people like at the top end of the skill chain?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not very used, like, I can build a website that looks like our Midwest Digest website.
Right.
But I would never do that because it would take me 40 hours.
Right.
And on Squarespace, I can do it instantaneously.
Right. I definitely think that is going to happen over time. You know, it's a very new profession, and it's also super high in demand, so it's growing really quickly, too. Back in the day, if you just knew like a little bit of HTML and CSS, you could get paid like big money just doing HTML and CSS.
Right.
There's a lot of tools like Squarespace that are making that super easy these days. There's still like, if you work at like a design agency or an ad agency, they still have clients that come to them. And this is more like businesses, not individuals who need a website, because that's how businesses do shit. They don't just like find some person who works in the company who might know HTML and CSS. They go to a company that they know is going to get the job done because that's what they do, even if it's a basic website.
Right.
You know, like people, when I worked at High Touch, we would have clients who would come there. I didn't work in the web dev department. I worked in a different dev department. But we'd have clients that come in who just really needed a pretty basic informational website. But because they're a business, they have to hire another business to do it. And they'd get charged like, you know, $5,000. I don't think we took any project that was less than $5,000. And, I mean, yeah, it's totally something that Squarespace could have done over a weekend.
Right.
So that kind of stuff is always going to be.
But you get what you paid for.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean,
sometimes those $5,000 dollar websites were really just Squarespace-level websites, I'm sure. I'm sure some people were like, I need a page that has my photo, and I need a page that says my tour dates.
I just don't think people are educated on that kind of stuff. So, like, when I say I'm a graphic designer, so many people say, oh, you build websites.
Nope.
I will design a website. I will take a Wix or a Squarespace and make it look really aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
But no, I don't build.
Yeah.
And that's when I use the construction worker architect kind of analogy. It's just people are they just don't know.
Yeah,
they think it takes like 5 seconds for you to build a website.
Yeah, they either overvalue it or undervalue it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually if they're a business, they overvalue it. If they're an individual or they're like trying to start a business, they undervalue it.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, because, you know, when I was just starting out, when I was like 17 and 18 doing freelance stuff, I was basically just building WordPress sites for businesses, all informational, pretty straightforward. And since I was starting out, I didn't charge that much. I would do like $500 or $600 for a website. And, you know, I don't know if it was just because I was also young and they thought like, oh, this kid's going to do it and I can throw him $100 and make his day. It's like,
mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. I know how much what I do is worth, and I know how much time I'm putting into it. Because the other side of that is working with clients is bullshit. Because that's the thing. They think like, yeah, I'm just going to tell you what I want, and then you're going to build it, and then I'll give you money, and that's the end of it. It's like, no, you're going to try to tell me what you want. You're going to get half of it wrong. I'm going to give you what you told me to build, and you're going to tell me like, oh, no, I thought we were going to do this, and actually, let's try and change this. Like, there's so much back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Client work is the absolute worst,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sure you know that as a designer.
Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty fortunate, but, communication is really important.
Yeah,
and
it's huge.
If you can sniff that they don't know what they're talking about, then you got to deal with it right then and there, and then lead them in the most correct way you possibly can, but still keep them happy.
Right.
It's almost like tricking a kid into don't know.
you got to know the right questions.
That's true. Trying to get a kid to eat the vegetables.
Yeah.
You do have to ask, and you have to say, well, why? Why don't you like this?
Right. And then the other thing is when they're just so adamant on having it one certain way, like, no, I really want this picture right here, front and center, and you're trying to tell them, like, that's a really bad idea. Like, it's going to look terrible. All the important information is going to be pushed down. Like, trying to, you have to be able to explain to them why the ideas that they're so married to are terrible.
And right? Then you have to do it, and then they're like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Never mind.
Yeah, because when I was doing freelance website stuff, I designed it too. I can do enough design to make it not look shitty.
Right.
I'm just not visually creative at all. So it was always just pretty.
You know what, like, is aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, I understand design principles. Like,
okay,
spacing and
yeah.
alignment and color and contrast and that kind of shit. Like, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. But so many people can't wrap their heads around it. It's insane.
Yeah.
So
it's like, I'm gonna make the background yellow. That was your first mistake. And you're gonna make many more.
Well, that's when you have to convince people that you're the expert.
Yeah.
And not convince, but
you
just have to have a certain stance. Like,
yeah, you gotta get them to realize, like, you're paying me because I know what I'm doing. So quit trying to act like you know what you're doing more than I do.
And you're not just the hands.
Yeah.
People think that it's just our hands that they're paying for.
Right.
No, you're paying for the years of drowning in this subject.
Yep.
That is what you're paying for.
Yeah.
You can't do what I'm doing.
Yep.
So, listen to me.
Well, and if they want to hire just your hands, like, be upfront about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was, like, I mean, you know, this isn't a job or anything, but, like, when was having me make that poster, it's like, if you know exactly in your brain what you want it to look like, just tell me and I can make something look like that. Don't say, hey, can you design something? And then go 18 fucking messages a day. Hey, can you make that bigger? Hey, what if this was red instead? Hey, but red looks okay. White looked better,
well,
but let's try black.
About exploring options too. And so, I mean, we could probably go on about design and coding.
And client work.
Yeah.
That's some of my favorite things to see on the internet are, like, when coders will make a website. And, just my favorite thing is always, my client didn't pay me for the website I built for them. And it's, like, linked to their website. And it's just, like, picture of somebody's face. Like, so-and-so didn't fucking pay me.
Yeah.
Countdown timer until the website disappears altogether.
Oh, man.
Well, lately I've been wanting, if someone says it's a quick job, I'll be like, okay, well, why don't we sit next to each other and we'll just build it right then and there?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it is a lot faster, but then I have to be like, okay, now we'll look at this in 2 days because we're not going to like it.
Right.
There's
things
we're not going to like. So I've been kind of finding a one-on-one logo making to be kind of really nice, but you can't do that with coding.
Yeah, that's the thing with coding.
So what do you think about this?
I get that all the time. I get that all the time too, because they, like, oh god, you know, just be like, okay, we just want to put a button on the screen, and the button needs to, you know, fire off an email to this person and then set a record in the database over here and, like, 15 other things. They're like, but it's just a button. Like, shouldn't take you that long. It's not that hard to put a button on the screen. It's like, yeah, the button is going to take me 5 seconds to put on the screen, but guess what? That button's not going to do fucking anything until I put in the another, you know, 20, 40 hours of work that you just described.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if they're just so adamant that it has to be simple, you know, you can't explain it to them. I basically just start spitting technical jargon at them, and they're just like, okay, I don't understand what you're saying.
Well,
like, I know that. That's why you don't, like, that's why I can't explain it to you, and why I don't expect you to understand why it takes long, but trust me on
just,
this.
You
I'm
need
not.
To do a time-lapse video of, like, how long, you know how people, artists will do that with their drawings and illustrations?
Yeah.
Just do it with coding.
It would be bounce back.
See, there you go. Be like,
yeah.
You can't bitch about anything. Watch this video.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be a little crazy.
I'm trying to solve a problem that there's no solution to.
There's no solution for it.
Do we have anything else?
Okay, so, we covered Dev ICT.
Mm-hmm.
We covered startup. I think you covered.
Let me plug some startup stuff real quick, actually, because there's been a lot of movement there. I don't know if you guys have seen the James Chung presentation that came out about like Wichita's economic outlook and all this shit. Basically, the Community Foundation hired this guy, James Chung, like 2 years ago now to come here. And he runs a company called Reach Advisors, who they work for Fortune 500 companies and just do this gigantic analysis of the company and how they're doing to figure out, like, are you on the right track? Are you going to keep growing and making money? If not, what kind of things you need to do to fix that? So the Community Foundation hired him to do that for Wichita as a city. Like, how is our economy? Why is it this way? You know, if we don't change anything, what path are we going to head into? And basically, if we don't change anything, if we just keep going the way we've been going, in 10 years, Wichita's going to be Detroit. Like, it's going downhill, and it's going downhill fast.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I thought...
Okay. Yeah, no, there's a lot of good things.
Some of Detroit's cool, right?
And that's the thing. It's not, you know, it's not our culture and things like that. Like, culturally, there's a lot happening here, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But economically, shit is just not going well.
Does he provide a solution?
So he's going to be here for another 2 years and like keep doing research and release some more studies. The one that he announced publicly recently was just basically, here's the diagnosis. And there was like, I could go on about this for a long time, but I encourage you guys or anybody
who
listening.
Who brought him in here to do this?
The Wichita Community Foundation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they're awesome. They're really awesome. They've been really supportive of all the groups that I'm involved in and all that. So, but yeah, the guy's name is James Chung. So if you just search James Chung, Wichita, it'll bring up all the shit.
You'll get this Wichita Eagle.
Yes. Yep, that's the one. Analyst. Hang on, let's read that title. Analyst presents sobering view of Wichita economy and community.
Well, dang.
So,
I can see from this chart right here that there's
some serious, like, grassroots efforts happening here. Like, Wichita Comedy, I mean, that's awesome. That's just a bunch of people that got together and are like, hey, let's fucking start something, and you're doing it, and that's the shit.
Thanks.
DevICT, Startup Wichita, Open Wichita, like, that's all just grassroots efforts. They're not plugged into the business community or anything like that around here. It wasn't started by an organization. It's literally a group of people who got together to make something happen.
And out of passion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And how...
Is it Midwest Digest?
Yeah, Midwest Digest.
Exactly.
Midwest Believe.
And we need more of that.
We Are Wichita.
House.
The Pop-Up Park.
That was Community Foundation.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they're doing awesome things for this city. But the thing is, like, there's no, like, business turnover, so the businesses that have, like, been grown here and are, like, the big companies that exist here in town now, they're not, like, they're not reinvesting into the city. Like, there's a whole bunch of shit, but...
Mm-hmm.
So one of the main things is, like, there's not that much entrepreneurship happening here in Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of it, but a lot of it, like, nobody hears about. Like, nobody's heard of the company I work for, Balanced Comp. Like, no one's heard of that. We're a 9-person company, and our CEO bootstrapped it with her retirement fund, and now we're valued at, like, I don't know, a lot of money. So we're doing well. But nobody knows that we exist, and... So there's little companies like that that are around, but we don't have really an entrepreneurship community. But Startup Wichita is trying to create that. And there's also another, there's a student group out at WSU that just started called Shocker Startup. And with all the stuff I've been doing, I've realized I'm not that plugged into WSU, and that's a problem. Because there is a shit ton of students out there who are smart as hell and really trying, like, super passionate about what they do and have awesome ideas and want to make it happen. And they don't know that...
Hook them.
Yeah, exactly. So Shocker Startup is the student group out there. It was Larissa Lowry, I hope I'm saying her last name right, who started it. And they, they're doing a lot of shit. Like, they've been going for a couple months now. And their first two meetups had, like, 60 people at them. I mean, it's huge. Like, that's bigger turnout than any of my events get ever. So,
yeah, the entrepreneurship...
School,
yeah, the Barton School of Business. They do entrepreneurial challenges and
the Business Booster Series. And
yeah,
all that stuff.
And
I guess the students are kind of turned off by the university run stuff.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that for sure, but that's kind of the perception I get. So this group that started, I don't know, it's awesome. But I'm trying. They don't know anything about the other community stuff that's going on. They don't know about Startup Wichita. They don't know about DevICT. There's tons of students in the computer science and engineering schools out there that just have no idea we exist. They want to learn how to code, like practical skills to actually build shit, because the computer science degree out there is just theory. It's just high-level theory. Like, if you want to become a computer scientist, it's great. But if you want to be a developer and actually just, like, build shit and launch businesses or whatever,
yeah,
they're not teaching you the skills you need to know. And yeah, that's what they want to learn.
And, like, Dominic Flask,
yeah,
you know Dom, right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, he's gone now.
Yeah.
He's in San Francisco working for Dropbox. But I had him as an instructor, and it took, you know, the first semester of my last year in design school to learn anything about coding or that it exists or development and things like that. And he was like the perfect teacher for it, but it was like, you know, damn, why is this
right.
not like
yeah.
a core
Yeah, it's
class.
Like, this is an important part of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really important part
in
of
the
it.
Arts and, well, now it's, what is the school called now?
School of Art and Design and Creative Industries.
So, I don't know. There's definitely room to grow, and it's new, and there's plenty of businesses that don't have great websites or even good ones.
Right.
It's all BS.
So that's why I'm trying to get plugged in at WSU a whole lot more and tap into that student base, because that's, yeah, I got sidetracked a little bit there, but with all the economic stuff, like, basically we really need to form a tech startup scene here. There's no
mm-hmm.
reason not to. Like, software and, like, tech startups, apps, whatever, it's the lowest overhead. You don't need an office. You can sit at your house or just meet up at coffee shops and write code and build something. It's the highest growth potential, because if you launch an app, it has, your audience is literally the entire world's population. So there's no reason to not focus on those. That's, like, absolutely the easiest way to make a shit ton of money. So we just, that's my goal right now, is to teach as many people in Wichita how to code and encourage them to start building stuff. Teach them the code stuff that they need to know to actually just, like, build and launch websites and apps. And then, you know, get them connected with all these, like, super passionate entrepreneur and idea people at WSU, and just encourage them, like, hey, fucking build an app, like, make something happen.
This is the future.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people out there who want to do that. They just don't know the process. They don't see it happening around them, so they assume you can't do that in Wichita, which is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know, you know, they don't know each other. They're not connected with the community and the resources to allow it. So that's the problem we're trying to solve right now.
Well, and we seem to just lose a lot of people, like,
oh, yeah.
from Wichita. That's like Andrew Harms. I don't know if any of you knew him. But he works for Google now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he just moved to San Francisco. But that's the thing. He was here for years, you know, like, as a fully qualified, ready to do any of this shit, you know, guy. But he was just working at, I don't know what, retail store or whatever, because he just didn't see. And I know he didn't get involved with any kind of shit like this.
Right.
But if he would have, you know, and that's the thing. We need the smart kids to be like, oh, yeah, you guys are trying to put together that wow, that project seems cool. It could be big.
Yeah,
you want me to do Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's what we want to happen. So
instead of just flying off to Silicon Valley.
We are the... Wichita is the second largest exporter of engineers in the country, next to MIT.
Boston.
Yeah. Which is fucking crazy,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
like,
crazy.
You never would guess
we
that.
We have a lot to brag about.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's one of the things that they talk about in the James Chung presentation. Like, everybody comes to WSU, gets an engineering degree, and then moves somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, they come here. WSU is awesome, like,
yeah.
especially engineering school.
I don't know if you guys already talked about this, but aren't they building something at WSU for engineering?
The Innovation Campus.
Yeah.
It does involve
a
lot of engineering.
It's like a makerspace, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be part of it. Like, I don't know. Like, I might get some of this wrong, but the idea that I have... how I understand it, at least, is that it's going to be a space where they can connect students with, like, research projects to develop, you know, new, I don't know, mechanical engineering stuff, new industry stuff, and then get it patented and turn it into a business, or, you know, get them contracts with, you know, businesses in the industries to use the things they're building. I don't know how specifically, like, tech startup focused it's going to be, or how just, like, startup in general, but it's going to be on, like, building new things and then, you know, making the connections to actually put it out into the real world.
It's a start.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think it's going to do really good things. I know what I hear from students a lot of times is that they're afraid because there's this whole like intellectual property thing out at WSU. So like, if you're a student and you come up with an idea,
or
like even if it's not for a class, apparently, like even if it's just something you're doing on the side, but while you're enrolled as a student, they can somehow like retain some right to that. I can't remember what the, I think it's the University of Illinois is like going back and trying to sue students who like launched startups while they were students at Illinois or University of Illinois, saying like, you know, we own a piece of that. Yeah, that's bullshit. Like, no, I'm sorry. Like,
this is literally a scummier version of what the show Silicon Valley is all about. Because that's he like makes a thing while he's working for Hooli.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's
And the thing is,
from a school. Why is a school got a?
Yeah. Like, don't want my thoughts.
Yeah. Weren't you here to turn me into the guy that can make that shit?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I mean, the schools are looking for ways to, you know, put themselves on the map, you know? Like, whatever, I get it, but it's shitty, and the thing is, like, if you're going to do stuff like that, you're going to make people not want to go to school there. Like, that's what that's going to come down to. And I don't know any of the details of how that works at WSU or the legitimacy of it or anything like that. I've just heard a lot of concern from at least a handful of different students about that. Like, they're afraid that if they pursue a startup right now while they're enrolled, that, you know, or they invent something while they're enrolled, that WSU is going to swoop in and try to take a piece of it. And that sucks. That sucks.
That's definitely
so
something to look into.
Seriously, research that.
Make
sure that's
the
case.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I've heard it from some students.
Does that mean like all your guys' artwork produced?
Yeah.
Like all my designs?
If
like,
they wanted to, probably.
If I sell like a logo, like if I show Aldi like my logo and they pay me like $10,000 or...
I mean, somebody in a
Wooshock,
like, costume comes, like,
yeah,
to the
just
gallery.
Takes the check.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
And, you know, they'd have to take you to court for it and shit like that, so there's a process. I mean, they have to care enough to actually go to that length, and at that point, you would think if you're successful enough that they're going to try to swoop in and take a piece of it, hopefully you've got money to pay for lawyers to fight it. It's shitty that you have to, but...
I'll just take off my tab.
Yeah, right. I feel like there's no way that can't, like, I don't know, man. I feel like a lot of those situations, like, there's no way it would hold up in court.
Right, at a certain point, a judge has to say yes, no.
Why would you want to bite that person when you should be like, we have successes like these
and
guys.
Right,
these
are
going
to make you look
shittier.
Yeah. I'll plug you. I went to your school.
Right.
Like, I got the knowledge from here. I'm going to be an alum.
Yeah, don't make an enemy out of me.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
No, don't say that.
I was in jail.
Oh, yeah, we unfuck you.
And that's the thing, because I don't...
Because we're like, we want to get into Wichita State,
Well, that's the thing. I haven't looked into the legitimacy of that or what the details of their deal is there, and so I have no actual experience with it. So it might not be as bad as I've been told, or it might not even be as bad as some of the students think it is. It's just something they're scared about because they see there is some kind of intellectual property thing that WSU has. I just don't know how strict it is or if they've ever even acted on it. But they see things like University of Illinois, and I think there's a couple other cases where...
I've heard... stuff like that.
It's a legitimate fear.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want someone to take ownership of something I created. So.
Yeah.
What else do you want to plug?
So Startup Wichita, we've got every third Thursday of the month is just like an entrepreneurship get together. It happens at Public in Old Town from 5 to 7. There's usually food and drinks provided, so that's always cool. This one's coming out this week, actually. I don't know if this will be out by then or not, but
nope.
Yeah. So, but every third Thursday of the month, it's basically just a social, like, networking, meet people, get plugged into the community for entrepreneurs, designers, developers, marketers, whatever the hell you do, basically, if you are interested in entrepreneurship. Startup weekend, the next one's happening November 13th through 15th. DevICT, we have a lot of recurring events now. Just go to devict.org. And then if you go to the events page, I've got it all listed on there, nice and clean now, finally. And then Open Wichita, which is a civic hacking group. Basically, it's just developers and other people who are just building projects that are just civically focused, so fixing something in the community. We've got some people working with the Lake Afton Observatory.
Yay.
We've got people building a new public transit app, so you can see like real time location of buses and all the routes around town.
Dope. That's what would make Wichita more badass.
We're hoping to. I think we're going to try and have that launch by early next year. So, but it's all volunteer hours and shit. So you know, there's no guarantee on anything. But they have a good team and they're moving pretty quickly. And then there's a bunch of other projects. And then, yeah, I just want to give one more plug to Shocker Startup because they're doing some cool shit out at WSU and got some good people involved. They have an event coming up. It's, I don't know what it is exactly. Actually, I know I'm speaking at it.
Do they have a Twitter?
Like, oh, shit, it's tonight.
Yeah, it's at Shocker Startup. But October 21st at 7 p.m. I don't know the location. It's at WSU, but if you follow them on Twitter at Shocker Startup, I'm sure it'll be posted on there. Cool. And yeah.
That's great.
Well,
is it mantra?
We usually end on like a motto or a mantra.
But before that, I just want to say you're doing a great job, like, in this community, like doing all this shit.
Thank
you.
Yeah,
way to go. I actually know Seth from years ago.
Yeah.
And
it's been a while.
Yeah. He got some portraits taken at a photography studio I worked at years ago. He got some boudoir.
She wasn't the photographer.
No, I wasn't the photographer.
She was just creeping on the side.
I may have edited your photos.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
But you're doing a great job, man.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
I appreciate it.
What's going on?
I like to know that the things I'm doing with my life or the effort I'm putting in are, you know, have an impact on the world around me. So.
And you're going to stay, right?
Yeah, that's my plan. I love it here, so I have no intention of leaving.
Cool.
The way I look at it is, you know, I could move to some other city that's already awesome and just leech off the good things happening there.
And get lost in like a sea of people.
Yeah, and not really matter there, you know,
yeah.
Like, I can, my life will mean more to everyone else around me if I stay here and focus my efforts on a place that like needs shit to happen. So
that's awesome.
That's my big
Even
thing.
When we did Startup Weekend, when we covered it, that was one of the funnest weekends.
Dude.
It was just
like
so many people were working together and it was like this different like environment that I've never been into.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was great.
It's a seriously awesome, like just creative energy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's busting ass,
great.
But like having a really good time. People aren't stressed out. Like they're
it's
enjoying.
Like a retreat.
Yeah, it's awesome. And like at the end of the weekend, you're just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, it's crazy.
And then you get to talk shit on who should have won what, what you should have done differently, and who was in your group that you didn't like.
Yeah, and whether you're gonna try to keep the startup going or not.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Okay, motto mantra.
Mantra time.
Did
you come up with one? Or?
You do.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
What's your words of
yeah, words? Not like a mantra. Like, we're not all going to chant something at you.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Yeah, like, every episode we do, I'm like,
Google gobble, Google gobble, one of us, one of us.
Yeah, personal philosophy,
whatever.
Yeah, just a couple sentences.
Something that drives you.
How about invest in Wichita? And not invest as in, like, your money, but your time and your effort, whether it's being a part of a community, starting a community, just whatever, invest in Wichita. How's that?
There we go.
Digest
cool.
That.
Get it out of here, Tim.
Wait, did you ask him, like, what he feared?
Oh, yeah, what do you think? All right, there it is. Thank you for hanging out with us, Seth. It was a great time. Once again, thank you to Jill Miller for helping us out. Go check out finishingschoolformodernwomen.com. Thank you to Snug Harbor for helping us out. Check them out on Facebook. Go drop in, have a drink. Thank you to Kenton Hansen for letting us use the Labor Party. Thank you. I do want to say thank you to Harvester Arts for putting on that party for us this Halloween. That was a really great time. Thank you, Domestic Drone, for letting us use your sweet music. And, of course, thank you, all of you, for tuning in. We will be back next week.